Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Coast to Coast Combat Hour. I'm your host, Matthew Hawkins, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Edgar Bahal. Weekly, we are brought to you by AllAccessMMA.com. Check out AllAccessMMA.com for our video podcast, MMA news, and MMA stories. Ed, a lot coming down the pike the last couple days, last couple hours. You know, you had the opportunity to talk to Aaron Jeffrey earlier this week, correct? And he's got
Friday. Correct. It's Bellator 298 fight week. I did. I had a chance to talk to him, like a week or so out. Just before he started making his way to Sioux Falls and doing his final training session. You can check out that interview over at mymmanews.com. However, if you don't feel like going through the website and stuff like that, folks that listen to the podcast will be able to access the interview. I'm going to add the audio of that and the video to folks that listen to follow us on Spotify. It was a great conversation. We talked about his fight against Dalton Rasta, the whole thing with the Bellator sale and how it's affecting him and his training, or whether it's affecting him or not. So if you haven't seen that or seen the short on YouTube and stuff already that I've published, the entire interview will be available for you to listen to once Matt and I are done catching up on news and previewing Bellator 298 on this week's podcast. The other thing I want to note is that if you did see that original interview, we did have some technical difficulty. I'm going to get that part out and just shorten up the time for you. So I should have put the link in the description on the YouTube video here. I'll add it for folks that watch us after we stream. And again, if you just want to jump right over to that, but it'll be on the full podcast episode. My conversation with Aaron Jeffrey ahead of Bellator 298. The other thing was, before we get into all the news that we missed while we were away, apologies, by the way, I got caught up with work that I couldn't go solo, and Matt had some family stuff he had to do. But before we get into the regular fight news, I wanted to give a shout out to Eric McGracken of Combat Sports Law. He's been on the podcast a couple of times already. He does a lot of work. Does a lot of work for combat sports. Gets zero money for it. He just uses his expertise as an attorney up north in Canada. He calls himself Canada's favorite ambulance chaser, whatever he has on his Twitter. But he went to the ABC the convention that they had in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. And he called Hunter Campbell, the UFC legal mouthpiece. They were in the same room together, and he called him to task on slap fighting and the CTE stuff. And then today, Josh Nash, is it John or Josh Nash for Bloody Elbow? He put out the UFC lawsuit, the antitrust lawsuit, got certified, and it's going to be able to move forward as a class action suit. Nash put it out, but you know, and the images of the documents and stuff. And if you follow Eric McGracken at all, he goes down these legal rabbit holes when it comes to combat sports because he's so passionate about the athletes and the fighters and stuff like that. He breaks it down so well. He's got a video. If you're not following him on Twitter, and you're interested in this type of stuff, highly recommend you follow him. I did try to get him on the podcast, but it was, again, the antitrust stuff only happened like in the last 48 hours or whatever. Nash put the documents up, and McGracken, he goes down these legal rabbit holes. If you're not following me on Twitter, it's fun to watch it happen when it happens live. That was the last time I talked to him, was with the Nate Diaz, when they changed the whole card for Nate Diaz last fight in the UFC. And it is part of the podcast. He does stuff for the Fighting Foundation, for fighters, and just making sure their fighters and their gyms are aware of the dangers of CTE and brain health and stuff like that. So I wanted to get him on. He's in the part of Canada he's in. The timing is always bad for him to come on the podcast when me and Matt record. So the times I have gotten him on, it's been, when we've scheduled it separately, like I'm not working during the day and stuff like that. But he deserves a lot of respect, man. The guy, literally, it's all just his own passion, that all this work he does, and it's a lot of work for him. I know it's kind of like an addiction for him, but it's also, your passions are your addictions too. And he literally just does so much for information for the legal stuff for fighters. you know, he's got the bandwidth for it. So I just wanted to shout him out before we started catching up.
Yeah. Yeah. Great job. He kept everybody updated on what was going on out there. So it was definitely cool. If you trust in that, you haven't seen it to his Twitter feed. And
I almost left out Nolan King and someone else at MMA Junkie transcribed the whole interactions between Hunter Campbell and everyone he spoke to at the conference. So the good chunk of that is McCracken asking about CTE and you know, traumatic brain injury and stuff like that. So if you haven't had a chance to read it, head over to MMA Junkie and read that, because it's worth a read.
Well, we mentioned you know, Bellator already earlier. News came out today, Bellator 300. There was some speculation. We had speculated, you know, an ideal, you know, Nate Diaz and Eddie Alvarez and yada yada, and mm-hmm. who knows what we could maybe put together. Well, I mean, I see mixed, you know, mixed reaction on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it these days. but they announced Bellator 300 today, four title fights.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that maybe not their best champions, or at least their most? You know, there's not Nemkov, there's Iblim, you know, some Pitbull, you know, some of it's not some of their name, the huge names on the men's side, but you do on the women's side. I think you basically kind of get there like almost number one and number two when you start talking about, you got Cyborg versus Kat Zingano, fight that's been in the making for a decade now, you know, over a decade, and then you got Elimelee McFarlane fighting her teammate and friend Liz Carmouche. Elimelee, obviously a huge name, especially, you know, here in the San Diego area. Cyborg, same Southern California. Kat lives in San Diego. Carmouche lives in San Diego. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's a big thing to help draw out here. Ryan Bader, coming off of his wins over Fedor at heavyweight, he fights Litton Vassell, a rematch from a light heavyweight title fight, which Bader was able to dispose of him fairly easy. Mm-hmm. The heavyweight Vassell, though, has been a different animal. Anybody that's watched him sees he's going out there and he's, you know, he's destroying people. He's knocking people out. He's he's finishing them. He's coming violent, elbows, you know, with the size
and
speed of a light heavyweight. So he's almost a rejuvenated different fighter. So I don't foresee that bout ending the same way that the first one did, with basically Bader taking him down and kind of abusing him on the ground. And then Nurmagomedov, Primus, a title fight, tournament fight. You know, so four good fights. You won't hear me complaining. It's in my neighborhood, coming to San Diego out here.
And they have yet to stack the undercard. Like, that dude just been, you know what I mean? Like, it's four title fights. That's your main card. But they have yet to – they haven't even talked about what the undercard is. So you know they're going to come – hot with the undercard.
Yeah, there'll be a good prelims. I mean, I don't think we're going to see a Pitbull brother necessarily on the prelims, but we're going to see a lot of their bigger names. They got, you know, I would say maybe a Larkin could be on the prelim. Mm-hmm. He's out here in Riverside, and he'll probably want to, you know, maybe come back and get a win coming off of the tough decision loss to Korshkov. You know, something like that. But I mean, I expect him to put some of the guys on. San Diego has a deep talent pool of fighters out here. Even if you're just getting some local guys, you're going to have some extreme talent on that. Same when they have the shows up in the Inglewood and LA and Orange County, same kind of pool. So,
They always come big. Like, you know, when the few times they've come to New York to the Garden, they always bring a nicely stacked card from top to bottom. And every time they come to especially when they go to the Pechanga, you know, your neck of the woods, I feel like those cards have always been like, you talk about those cards, you go to them all the time. The way you talk about those cards, it almost makes me feel, I mean, watching at home, I feel like I'm there because of how exciting they are, not just to as a fan, but like, you know, knowing that this, you're there as part of the podcast. It's almost, you know, we're always messaging each other, and it's just, they always come correct when they come to the Pechanga Resort.
Now, this isn't the Pechanga Resort. There is a little confusion there. This is the Pechanga Arena. It's the San Diego Sports Arena. Pechanga just sponsors it.
Oh,
so
okay.
It is a bigger arena. This isn't like the ballroom.
Sorry, I said resort. You're right. It is the arena, yeah.
It is the arena. And other people who are super knowledgeable on the sport. Also, we made that error earlier. I had to correct a friend. And so it's not because they were concerned that like, okay, they're bringing four title fights to a smaller arena and that could lead to like the sale and there'd be some hands. It's not the case. San Diego Sports Arena, same place that hosted Stephen Bonner versus Tito Ortiz for Bellator.
Did they change the name of that or something recently? Is that why
it changes all the time? It's just a whole empty arena in San Diego and whoever sponsors it.
Okay.
I mean, it's been multiple.
Gets the names. Name. Yeah.
Okay. Pachanga probably for 2 years now. It was the San Diego Sports Arena. It was the I Pay One Center. It was the, it's been a million names. So, so it is an arena that's going to hold 13,000, same arena where we had the poster right behind me, Cruz and Vera. So it's a place that has held MMA events for the last 20 years and can do it still to this day. Not terrible seats. It's a grimy arena, but it's
MMA.
It gets the trick done.
And there's something about that. Yeah.
And you walk outside and you got San Diego Beach out there. So there could be a lot worse of a situation going on. So that's Bellator's news for the day. Obviously, when October rolls around, we'll get deep into that event.
We should mention, like, the rumor that's flying around is that that might be Bellator's, like, last show, at least as Bellator as we know it. And again, that's all rumors. You know, people started this Bellator sale shit fucking however many months ago. Whether or not it's going to be them in PFL or whatever's happening, we were supposed to get something in 90 days from when was that? When they 90 days from, I forget which event, but I feel like we're already nearing or past that. So I'm assuming we're going to hear something. Like the PFL is going to be in my neck of the woods next week. I'll be covering PFL, the playoffs in New York on the 8/18 card, which is next Friday. I'll be there covering it. And if they do have a media day scheduled, so if any other announcements happen, obviously you have my Twitter handle on there. I'll be, if they mention anything, I'm definitely going to ask about it if I'm in front of Peter Murray or any of the six people that run the PFL are in front of me. But that's the rumor floating around. I feel like regardless of that, I mean it's number 300 for Bellator, and I think let's have a good time watching it. That's my take on that whole thing.
We've all seen MMA organizations come and go. Mm-hmm. Bellator having 300 events is a monumental number, and something they should be extremely proud of. Whether they merge to something else and any of that goes down, whether or not it doesn't happen, like you said, celebrate the events. The fights are the fights.
Yeah.
Different titled event a month later, so be it. Mm-hmm. If this one becomes, instead of Bellator 300, becomes whatever we're calling it, one, then so be it. The key for me is that they're still calling the Nurmagomedov title fight a quarterfinal. Mm-hmm. Or a semifinal, I should say. Mm-hmm. Whereas, kind of, if you thought you were gonna be the end of your thing, maybe you just call it a title fight.
It'd be the final, like
WEC, and you'd kind of just have your final champion at that point. So the fact that it's still a tournament, and they haven't. It doesn't look like they've abandoned that. Leads me to believe at least that we're still on a path to have these fights continue, no matter what the title of the organization or.
And you never know what's going on. You know, with the writer strike going on and stuff like that. I mean, waiting that out, you know, all these big giant media companies like Paramount, Viacom, whatever they're known as now, you know, this is probably something, if they were thinking about selling it, they probably want to hold on to it now because that's the only thing they're getting that's not affected by, you know what I mean?
That's true.
You know what I mean? So it's like maybe they're rethinking, like, hey, hold on a second. You know, we don't know when the strike is going to end, so we should focus on sports content and, you know, producing, you know, helping build this brand a little more. So, you never know, but that's not the only thing that news that we have to talk about. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. Like, we were off last week, so Paul Diaz happened, right? And what else happened? The UFC event where Stephen Thompson nobly made weight, was ready to go, and then decided not to take a fight because his opponent missed weight, and he posted a really good reason for it. Not that he had to apologize or explain anything to anybody, in my opinion. But he's something that he said he hopes other fighters follow suit, and I definitely don't. I don't fault him for not taking a fight if his opponent wasn't ready for him.
Yeah, I mean, the situation is, you know, he's one of the best guys in the sport. I think that's universally known. The fact that he's at his age. He didn't take the fight after his opponent missed weight, and then the UFC, who generally does a fair job of paying out fighters that make weight if their other opponent drops out. However, they're using the argument that Paella didn't drop out, mm-hmm. and that that Wonder Boy essentially just turned down fighting, mm-hmm. and kind of turned it on him. I don't think anybody should be surprised. Gotta be honest, there is a part of me, as much as I love Wonder Boy, that mm-hmm. kind of thinks like, well, this is kind of what you guys get. You guys refuse to come together and take a stand, and mm-hmm. and you guys put your faith in things happening, and is when it happens to other fighters, okay, no big deal, it's not happened to me, and now it's happening to a big name, nice guy in the sport who deserves to be paid for the work he put in and prepared to fight. I think this, you know, it's chicken shit. I think, you know, would you have bet against that happening? I mean, maybe not based off history, because they've been a pretty good job. I feel like they're using this as an example for their bigger name fighters. Mm. It's easy for them to pay a guy who's making $10,000. You know, now they got a guy who's making $250,000, and they suddenly, you know, now they're crying broke, or they don't want to pay it. You know, it's kind of a weird situation.
It's weird, but you know, it's also happening right as Contender Series starts, and we all know. You know, it's funny how so many fighters get cut a couple of months before Contender Series starts. It's because, you know, it's the machine. They're recycling. They're bringing in all these fresh bodies to come in and either make stars or you know, just use them to get their whatever, however many events they have to have for ESPN plus a year. The funny thing about it is, like, this is coming up. This happens, and then the antitrust lawsuit thing gets certified, and one of the things in the lawsuit pretty much says that the UFC does do some pretty aggressive tactics when it comes to, you know, pretty much forcing fighters to do things, and the whole I always mispronounce it, it's not monopoly, it's the other monsopony, whatever the term is for what they're doing, and this is a perfect example of it. I know Dana White was asked about it for some recent appearance. He was at an event, and I'm sorry for not knowing exactly which one, because he's literally like just not shown up to the last, like he wasn't at the last pay-per-view press conference, and the event before that he wasn't there. So I think it was after the Sanhagen, the card from this past weekend, but two events he's been kind of phoning it in lately. So there's a lot of stuff to me that I'm just like, you know, with him focusing on the slap fighting so much, I feel like he's already looking for his exit. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens sooner than later with this whole antitrust, but I'm digressing. It's just coincidence.
In case anybody's watching, they see me look away real quick. I don't want to, I want to be honest with the audience. You mentioned slap fighting, and there's an event on right now, and I wouldn't normally be checking it out like this. However, the opening bout is Paul Teague. And if anybody has watched our show or knows
the history of the Ninja Turtle,
you understand why I kind of need to see. I kind of need to see the results. So he just took the platform. I'll give an update on what happens in this fight. He did lose his debut for the show when he tried out, but
he's doing slap fighting again.
He's doing slap fighting again. He's the opening fight on tonight's
Power Slap. Okay.
So I'll keep the
it's happening right now.
It's on right now. His opponent just got on the mat. They're about to square up. So I'll give an update, but let's keep going so I don't get too sidetracked with it.
Okay. Yeah.
So and then you also mentioned Paul Diaz, you know, getting away from the Wonder Boy thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got to see the fight. It was entertaining. Diaz took a beating early. And came and did his thing, you know, ended up kind of staring at the crowd and mm-hmm. you know, got his gas tank revving in about the seventh round and made it a fun finish to a fight. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a competitive fight. Paul was clearly the better boxer. Mm-hmm. But had it been a 20 round fight or a 15 round fight, Diaz wins. I mean, we've said that a trillion times, going back to his MMA career. So I'm glad that nobody got physically maimed.
Yeah,
nobody got Woodley'd, you know,
people
got paid, and I think the crowd and the fans that paid or watched the fight walked away thinking, hey, at least it was a fun 10 round you know, celebrity boxing match, basically.
You know, I we had Joseph Correa from Front Proof Media on, And after we had him on, you know, when I had mentioned Jake Paul and my view of him, he had me write something for him over there that weekend, and it was published the week that it came out. Oddly enough, they published it. The Untold on Netflix on Jake Paul came out on Tuesday, and I think Front Proof published it that same Tuesday or Wednesday. And if you watch it, it's almost like they took footnotes out of, and I know it was filmed over time, but it's like they took footnotes out of what I wrote. And, you know, the thing about it is, it's like, I haven't seen any numbers. Like, I don't know how it did pay-per-view wise or, you know, everyone says it's a success when you ask them, but like looking at the actual numbers, I haven't seen anything like that yet. I've been pretty busy with Spectation Sports and stuff, but so I haven't really been paying attention. But I mean, he's making, you know, we're not going to get Spence Crawford from the hardcore regular boxing, and he seems to be making it fun again. And as Joseph alluded to when we had him on, you know, he did a Creator Clash thing that's kind of spawned this whole YouTube boxer, where Jake Paul came from. And it just seems like the energy seems to be there for fun. Like if you want to do like, say, combat sports light, we'll call it, you know, it's like,
just don't take it seriously. Yeah. Yeah. You want to watch a couple dudes box, and especially if it's an MMA fighter that you're familiar with. Great.
Yeah.
If it's not, and he's fighting Tyson Fury or mm-hmm. Tommy Fury again, don't watch
it. But people were talking about it. Like, you literally, the guys are training with
news, yeah. And it's Diaz, and the dude's got a following. Paul's got a following again. Mm-hmm. I still to this day don't know how they even got started. Like, we when we started talking about him, we didn't even know who the difference between the two brothers. I'll tell you what, let's square it up. The good news for Paul Teague is he won the coin toss, so he will get to slap his opponent first.
Is his opponent bigger than him?
No, shorter than him. Same weight, 155, 156, 5'7" to 6 foot, though. Paul Teague's a 6 foot giant in there against the 5 foot seven. Well,
Trujillo. You watch that. I'm going to say something about the. So if you haven't watched that Untold special on Netflix on Jake Paul, I think it's worth a watch because, like Matt just said, when we were first talking about the Paul brothers on this podcast, we didn't know who the fuck they were, what the hell they were, what they were doing. And it was a little aggravating. But over time, Jake Paul, you know, he definitely grew on me. I'm not like his biggest fan or anything, but I respect what he's doing, and I respect the fact that he actually loves the process of getting an opponent, training, preparing for them, and the footage of him boxing in his first, like, you know, Creator Clash YouTube type boxing match versus, you know, when he went against Tommy Fury, you get to see him evolve as a boxer. Even if he's amateur at best, you still get to see someone that's young enough in their prime where they can evolve, and he's got the means to be a full-time athlete. So I've been saying for a while, I'm done hating on the guy. And if he actually makes better, look at all the guys that were on the card, you know, Aguayo, Jose Aguayo, and what's his name? Pretty boy that we've had on this podcast. I can't believe I'm forgetting his name. He's been on a couple times, but he fights under MVP Promotions, and it's just been what he's doing is actually good for fighters. Even if he has to play the villain to do it. So I think he's worth watching. And you definitely check out that Untold on Netflix. What's going on with the slaps? Is he still standing?
Okay. Okay. You people need to go back and look up our Paul Teague interview to understand why I'm kind of chuckling here. So
it's on Rumble. You're watching on Rumble.
It's on Rumble. Okay. So he comes out there, he slaps his first opponent, mm-hmm. first slap. Opponent laughs at him, smiles, mm-hmm. nothing done. Paul Teague walks to the corner, apparently breaking his hand with the first slap. Drops out of the fight. Fight is called before he's even allowed to get slapped back.
You want to know what's funny? I knew you were going to say he broke his hand.
Like, that's why I was not happy about not being able to slap him back. Let's put it that way. Walked off not happy. I feel we probably will not see Paul Teague back in Power Slap. Just my guess.
For folks, know, like when we talked to him, it was because he was fighting in bare knuckle and he got knocked out there too.
Yes.
And then again, like, I'm not trying to fucking knock the guy.
No. The guy's,
because he gave us his time, but yep. Yeah, he keeps going out there and putting himself in these things. But I mean, we would be remiss if we didn't say again, if you watch that interview, he is a character. And I mean, if anything, he's got a lot of heart.
Yep. Yes. Yes. This is not disrespect. He's doing it. I wouldn't go in there. I wouldn't kickbox. I wouldn't MMA fight. I wouldn't bare knuckle fight. I wouldn't slap box. He does it all. So he's got the guts and he's got the heart to go through it. But yeah, I wasn't surprised to see him shaking his hand, walk to his corner. And
I'm literally like when you, as I was waiting and listening, in my mind, I was already thinking, I bet you he broke his hand.
Yeah.
Slapping the guy.
Yep. Yep. So. I mean, broken. I don't know. He was holding it. He was holding it like kind of the looked like he was holding the pinky finger area, and that's what they were looking at and stuff. So, you know, the doctors looked at it, and he was shaking his hand, holding his hand. So, you know, he either busted his wrist, busted his hand, or, you know, I'm not gonna speculate beyond that. vocally, at least, But yeah, you know, it's not a surprise. It ended basically exactly as I expected. Only thing would have happened was if you tripped walking up the stairs to get to the thing. Would have kind of been a little bit more that, in my guess.
I feel like that's right in that whole thing's wheelhouse. But anyway,
no brain trauma for Paul Teague tonight, though. No brain trauma at all. Hand might be casted, but we'll see how that goes. All right, now back to the serious stuff.
Yeah.
Bellator 298.
This two weekend. Events
prior to the big 300.
Yeah.
Sioux City, North Dakota? South Dakota. Sioux City, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Sioux Falls. I'm at there eventually.
At the Sanford Pentagon.
There you go.
Again, I mean, this is so, like as Matt said, 298, then they're in Europe again, and then 300s in October. You know, October is month 10. It's the last quarter of the year. So whatever Bellator's future holds, they've definitely been they are and have been. And for me, will always be fun to watch if they keep putting on shows like they have been. First fight on the main card, Sydney Outlaw versus Islam Mamedov. It's not a Magomedov, but close enough. So 78% of the fans on Bellator.com show Mamedov looks seemingly winning the fight. I can't help but agree, especially at 155. I feel like all those guys out of Russia that have that beard, have that style beard, are dangerous to deal with.
Yeah.
Especially the record too. You look at the records.
Yeah, and when I look at Mamedov's record, he's 22-2.
Mm-hmm.
His two losses are to Alexander Sarnovsky, who, if you watched Bellator in the early days, was a Russian killer. You know, fighting Tiger Sarvinsky. It's definitely hard to pronounce, but a 40-8 fighter. So then that was in the second pro fight. He lost that fight. His only other loss is a decision loss to Benson Henderson, which obviously anybody that follows the sport would realize is certainly not a nothing to knock a fighter over losing to Benson Henderson. So I'm going to go with Mamedov. Sydney Outlaw's a good wrestler. Could in theory bring a little bit of issue to the fight if he's able to land some takedowns and maybe bore the fight up a little bit. But yeah, when you're 22-2 fighting out of where Mamedov is fighting out of, I can't turn my back on that. That's usually means, you know, serious threat.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. The next fight on the card, by the way, originally it was supposed to be James Gallagher versus Chris Lencioni. And as you guys know, we have the link. Make sure to add the link still. Quick update, by the way, Lencioni walked out of the hospital last week. On his own two legs. He's still got a long way to go with rehab, but, you know, suffered cardiac arrest. Getting ready for this fight, it was supposed to be James Gallagher and Chris Lencioni, so that link will be in the description for folks to keep helping him out through his rehab, because he still has a battle ahead of him, even though he's way better than he was when this whole thing started. But stepping in for him is James Gonzalez fight at 9-6, facing James Gallagher. You know, Gallagher's been a little injury prone himself, but he seems to be ready to go for this fight. And, you know, it's hard for me not to pick Gallagher only because, you know, he was the original booking and someone coming in, you know, alternatively, especially, you know, when you look at their records, it looks like Gallagher's got experience over him. It looks they're fighting at featherweight, so 89% of the fans are picking Gallagher to win, and like I said, I'm picking him just simply because he's probably had a little more time to prepare, and he's got a little more experience, and you know, he definitely always comes to fight. So I don't see him. I mean, even if it goes to decision, but I know he's got a nice RNC too if he takes your back, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, Gonzalez coming off a loss to Pico, taking the fight late notice.
Mm-hmm.
Gallagher's obviously the showcase fighter of this fight. Mm-hmm. Bellator would like him to win, obviously, because it continues to keep a stronghold on Ireland for MMA, mm-hmm. Where Bellator kind of has a stronghold right now. So I think that I expect, although Gallagher hasn't fought in a while, barring extreme ring rust, I expect him to go out there and the way he wins his fights, probably beat him up a little bit and end up, like you said, landing a submission, a choke or something like that to, you know, and second round, third round, somewhere in that neighborhood, I would say probably takes the fight over.
Yeah, for sure. Next one, Dalton Rosta versus Aaron Jeffrey. Jeffrey, again, check out the interview, will be attached at the end of the portion of the podcast. When you folks listen to it on Spotify or wherever you listen to it, it's on the YouTube channel. You can check out my chat with him a couple of weeks out from the fight. He's there now. I know he did a very short meet today. You know, he lost to John Salter. He's looking to get back on the winning streak. He's currently ranked number 6 in the Bellator rankings. Rasta's number 4. Rasta, I mean, Jeffrey told me he feels like Rasta doesn't respect him or feel like he's a very good fighter. Obviously I'm a little biased because I know Jeffrey, I know his story, and I know he's a grinder. I don't agree with the fan pick here. 33% of them see Jeffrey losing, and Rasta, I know he's ranked number 4 and he's 8-0 at undefeated, but I've seen Jeffrey lose, and usually his focus, he's got extreme focus. You think about the John Wick line, a man of extreme focus. When Jeffrey loses, he's already focused. But when he picks up a loss, if you look at his CFFC run to his contender series, and then what happened after that, you know, he let people know who he is when he got the belt or knocking out the Austin Vanderford, and then winning after that again before running into Salter. And we talked about what happened that night with Salter too. So if you want to hear his take. And he's not making excuses. He's not somebody that sits in losses and focuses on them. So I have a feeling I know I'm biased, but I'm team Aaron Jeffrey, AAJMMA all the way. So I'm picking him to win.
Yeah. I mean, being non-biased, I'm going to call it basically essentially a coin flip fight. I think you can put some of the odds there, at least the percentages, based off the fact that Rust is undefeated, which mm-hmm. So anybody sees a zero might persuade them. And honestly, I was at Aaron Jeffrey's last fight. If you watch that fight, and that's kind of the lasting memory you have of him, it wasn't his rarest performance. He got blanketed by Salter, got beat for the whole fight. I mean, he didn't get beat up, but he lost the fight. So if that's in your mind and that's what you've seen, then I can understand, you may be thinking, okay, we're going to go with Rasta. That mm-hmm. makes sense to me. But like you said, the history of Jeffrey tells a story of resilience and stuff like that. So,
and if you listen to it, like, again, you guys will get to listen to the interview. He talks about a lot about that night and what happened. So, when you hear what he says, and as anyone that's competed, again, this is why they do what they do, and we sit here and watch them, because they have the tolerance to go. There's a lot of shit that goes into competition and fighting that the average Joe yes, I'm a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I coach a lot of people, whatever. But there's things that come along with competition that I don't fucking have the mental fortitude for it, because you know, the weight cutting and making me wait and all this time when I'm ready to go, it's a problem for me. It's not a problem for guys like most of these guys, but that's not to say they're immune to it when something goes awry. So that's all I'll say. You guys can listen to the interview and judge for yourselves. But yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there because I respect what these guys do a lot, but I'm hoping the upset happens. And it wasn't a bad loss either. But Valentin Moldavsky versus Steve Mowry. This is another fun heavyweight one. Steve Mowry, for a heavyweight, he's got such good jiu-jitsu, man. He's got heavyweights are big dudes, but to see heavyweights with that ectomorphic frame, I'm just always impressed with how humans that size can move so well. So I'm not surprised that 66% of the fans have Steve Mowry winning against Moldavsky. I'm actually with them on that. I can see Mowry pulling off a decisive victory. I don't know if he finishes him. I'll say decision.
Moldavsky coming off two losses to Linton Vassell and Ryan Bader, the two guys fighting for the heavyweight title. Mm-hmm. So no shame in those losses per se, although the Vassell loss was a first round finish, which is not something that you normally see out of Moldavsky or Team Fedor fighters, you know, that Fedor train. Mowry ended up in a decision in his last fight, kind of some really back and forth in a situation where whoever got the takedown in his past fight ended up winning the round. That was against ICF, the PFL heavyweight champion. I'm going to go with Moldavsky to bounce back, land a big punch, and hurt Mowry and give Mowry his first loss. I've been impressed with Mowry in the past. His last fight didn't impress me all that much. In fact, there was many parts of the fight where I thought he was actually going to lose or get finished. So I'm going to go with Moldavsky to land that punch, get back on track with a win, and go that route. So we got one where we're against each other at least. We'll probably be, I have a feeling in the next fight we'll be probably on the same side just based on the styles of the fight. But that's the main event. Logan Storley, Brennan Ward.
I think it's gonna be fun. I think the main event's gonna be fun just because I really like both fighters. Brennan Ward, man. He's you talk about staple Bellator fighters. He's definitely one of them, especially here in the Northeast. Just watching his career and seeing him talk about his own personal journey when he fought here in Connecticut last June, and then where he's gone since. I mean, he's hard not to root for him, but I'm also a big fan of Logan Storley too, just because of his focus on his own career. If you look at, I think it was Hunter Homestek that we've had on the podcast. He's the GM at 247 Fighting Championship. But, you know, I think he wrote the piece at Flow Combat on Storley. Storley was one of the guys that actually said no to the UFC because, you know, he knew his own worth. And that's always made me just follow his whole journey. I know he believes in his wrestling, in his division, especially. I'm really looking forward to the fight. 62% of the fans believe Storley is going to win versus the 38 that are for Brennan Ward. You talked about coin toss fights. For me, I see it a little differently. I have a lot of respect for both guys. Because I think Ward, if he pops Storley, I think he can, you know, put him out. We all know Storley, if he wrestles him and never gives him the space, he can just drag him to a decision. But, the puncher's chance is always there. So for me, it's a coin toss fight. I'm leaning Storley because, he's a really good wrestler. But again, Ward has, I'm not going to be surprised if Ward lands a shot that gets Storley, on ice skates, then I'm not going to be shocked if it goes his way.
Yeah, I kind of see the fight as like exciting if Ward wins, and probably boring if Storley wins. I think Storley's likely. I'm going to pick Storley to win a one-sided decision. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get takedowns as much as I'm a Brendan Ward fan. I mean, I mm-hmm. win or lose, I've seen him fight a handful of times in person, and it's just been, you know, fireworks and spinning shit and, you know, all the fun stuff that can happen in a cage fight. But I think Storley's wrestling is just too good. I honestly don't think it's a great matchup for Ward, and I would have wished, I preferred if Bellator maybe would have matched him up, with somebody, you know, more of a striker, and just kind of, let's mm-hmm. enjoy whatever handful of fights he might have left in his career. Just, you know, I say that based off the amount of wars he's been in. You can only go to the well so many times. So I think Storley's going to win. I think he's going to win 4 or 5 rounds. Mm-hmm. You know, if this goes to the decision, I think he wins by using his wrestling. And, you know, I hope it's an exciting fight, but I kind of see it as a possibly, a, you know, I'm going to take you down and I'm going to beat you up enough where the ref can't stand it up. And I'm going to get my paycheck and probably get the next title shot.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It should be fun. I mean, you know, Bellator, they haven't been as active as I'd like them to be in this quarter. You know, they usually come out this way, my neck of the woods. But, you know, it looks like, again, on the corporate side of things, it looks like things are funny. They've been in Japan a lot, you know, the Bellator Rising event. I did live results for that. Watched it. The Ryzen portion, I'll say, was a little bit more entertaining than you know, we had an upset fight there, and you know, the you know, with AJ McKee getting pulled out, put all out of the end of the week of when we last recorded, you know, it was a little rough for the Showtime portion, but the Ryzen portion seemed like it was very entertaining.
The Ryzen portion was awesome. Yeah. I purchased the Ryzen portion and actually watched it the next morning. I figured if it's going to record, why kill myself till 5 a.m, you know, I can wake up and enjoy the fights on a Saturday morning. So yeah, I mean, I like what they're doing there. You know, if I want to play conspiracy theorist, I might argue, well, maybe they're coming to San Diego because, as I stated, the arena might be a cheap venue. You know, it might be a cheap venue for them to use. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised it's not in San Jose. I my whole fingers were crossed that it was going to be in San Jose, so at least I'd have the option of trying to get up to it. So that kind of surprised me. San Diego obviously works with the card they put together, like I said, because of so many local yeah. fighters, it makes it easy, and it'll likely sell. The place is going to be popping with 10th Planet and all those and all those people there. So should be fun. Bellator's this Friday. Friday's a loaded night. There's a lot of action. Everybody needs to check Kaposa, Grabaka, Hitman schedule to keep up on it. But one thing of note, BKFC 48. John Dodson fought Mighty Mouse twice for the title in the UFC. He fights J.R. Ridge for the inaugural flyweight title in BKFC. And according to everything I've read and what I've seen on their Twitter feed, this event will be free, not just the prelims, but the entire event. All of BKFC 48 from New Mexico will be free. I believe you can watch it on perhaps Fight, but I would check YouTube, BKFC app, everything I see says it's going to be free. So you've got you know, John Dodson. They do have like an influencer fighting their cut man who's a fighter. It's kind of a weird thing. They have a cut man who's a fighter who's undefeated. He's like 4-5-0 in BKFC, mm-hmm. but he's also the cut man. So it's kind of a weird thing. He's fighting like an influencer kid. So that might be why they're making it free and putting it on YouTube, so that
new eyeballs.
They can get 5 million, you know, YouTube views. Clean cut, younger kid. I have a feeling he's in for a long, long
time. Oh, night. I saw the ad for that. Yeah. I forget his name, but
His name is Bryce Hall. I have no idea who he is. Yeah, I have no idea what he does. But he signed to fight bare knuckle. So again, like Paul in the beginning with Jake Paul thing, we always said, "Hey, dude, you're going in there. You're signing it. You're fighting the guy. You're not bullshitting. You're not doing an exhibition. You're not. You know, this isn't some kind of fake fight. You're going out there to really hurt each other." He's going out there and fighting an undefeated bare knuckle fighter who has beat up some people.
Yeah.
G Perez has has done it. I mean, I've seen him fight in person, I've seen him fight in TV, a bunch of all of his fights, and he's not afraid to hurt people. So it's going to be interesting, but I have a feeling that's why they're making it free. And if that's the case, that's genius thinking. Why try to get some money out of some, 20-year-old kids, let them all get together, 21-year-old kids, and have some beers and and watch it for free and get eyes on the sport, and then keep growing. Cause I like what BKFC is doing. I know it's kind of an outlaw promotion, as far as, the general perception, but as long as they keep paying their fighters, which we haven't heard any complaints about. Mm-hmm. And as long as the health regulations keep getting better and better, which they seem to be happening right now. And the rules just got approved by the ABC. So we might be seeing an expansion of BKFC to some more states that maybe we're waiting for the rules and everything to kind of go through a process. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens there. But John Dotson, undefeated. The man's been killing it since he left the UFC between Ryzen and BKFC, undefeated in both, finishing opponents left and right. And the man's speed in the bare knuckle ring is might be unparalleled from what I've seen so far. Now, he's one of the smaller fighters that fights for the organization, but his speed and power, which he always had, even in the UFC, he put down TJ Dillashaw with it. Something to watch and always exciting. You've never seen a boring John Dodson fight. Mm-hmm. So that is Friday. UFC is on Saturday. I think it's ESPN Plus. Didn't get too deep into that.
Yeah, it's on. You'll watch it.
It'll get watched. It'll be talked about.
So stay tuned for my Aaron Jeffrey interview. Matt's going to take us out, but just really quick, don't forget that it's at the end of this episode.
Yeah, fans can follow us at X, at MMA. I'm sorry, let me start over again because there's a new one here. Fans can follow the show at X, at Combat Hour, on Instagram, at Coast to Coast Combat Hour. Follow me on X and Instagram at MMAHawk21. Follow Ed at X at Carbazol, Carbeerzol on Instagram, and Old Head Carb on Twitch. And you can always check us out, as I mentioned earlier, weekly on allaccessmma.com. Check out allaccessmma.com for video podcasts, MMA news, and MMA stories. Enjoy the combat week. Next week's up in the air. You're going to be with the PFL coverage.
Yeah.
So we'll play it by ear. We'll let the fans know a couple day out how Ed's travels and journey and how deep he's getting involved.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, we don't have a show next week because that means Ed's handling business, interviewing fighters, making money, and the world continued to turn properly. So if we don't have a show, Ed, enjoy the fights, obviously, and enjoy getting out there enjoying the fights.
All right, this is Ed Carbajal for MyMMAnews.com speaking with Aaron Jeffrey ahead of his Bellator 298 bout that's on August 11th on Showtime. Aaron, back home in Canada, how's it going so far? I know we're a couple of weeks out.
It's good, man. Everything's good. Just kind of putting the final touches on training camp now. Just like staying healthy and staying sharp and kind of a couple technical things. But everything's good.
Yeah, I mean, this fight probably, I would imagine, training is a little different. Obviously, you picked up the last fight didn't go the way that you wanted it to go. So I'm wondering, I mean, if anyone that's used to dealing with, losses and adversity and stuff like that, I know you're used to it, but there's still lessons to take and lessons to be learned. So what did you take from that last fight that's helping you get ready for this next one?
Honestly, man, for me, that last fight was more mental than anything. Not that it matters. It sounds like an excuse and everything, but we fucked up our timing in the back room. And I was getting my hands wrapped, and the guys from Bellator came and told me, like, you're up next. And I was like, what, I'm next? And they're like, yeah, you're up next. So I finished wrapping my hands and threw my gloves and warmed up for, like, 3 minutes and then walked out. So it was just, like, stressful and rushed and, like, kind of built up a lot of anxiety right before walking out. And it just fucked with my head a bunch. So I think just working on being, like, I don't know, mentally strong or focused or or whatever, and focusing on me and my game rather than all the other shit that can happen.
I think that's something that a lot of folks kind of take for granted when they're watching fights, because I know, like, that's what separates the hobbyists like myself from the competitors like you. You know, you guys can handle all those things better than, like, I competed once in Grappler's Quest back in 2005, and the waiting killed me. So I think that's a really good point about the mental fortitude required for what you do for a living.
Yeah, man.
So I wanted to ask you, because when you go, you train between Canada and Florida. A lot of folks know that. You and I have talked about it a lot. In Florida, they changed the gym. It's Kill Cliff now, right?
Yep.
So since the change, how's that been for you? Is it, like, way better, or has it the vibe changed? Like, what's that been like?
You mean since they changed to Kill Cliff?
Yeah.
Dude, it's exactly the same, other than they got, like, different mats and a different logo on the wall, but otherwise everything's the same. And we get free Kill Cliff energy drinks in there now, which is pretty cool.
Are they good drinks?
Yeah, they're awesome.
as a nutritionist guy, I'm always, because I know you do nutritionist work on the side too. Like, is it, like, advisable to take those? Especially, I mean, I would imagine you need them for the output that you do.
Yeah, most of them are sugar-free, and they're not using, like, aspartame and shit like that. I think they're sweetened with stevia, which is cool. The ingredients are not too bad. I'd say they're definitely better than a lot of the other shitty energy drinks that are out there.
Mm. And it's got to be nice to be able to freely go between Florida and Canada, not like it was a few years ago.
Yeah, man, it's way nicer now. No stress crossing the border.
It's definitely, like, noticeable too, since in your vibe, like, since it's been way past COVID and all that stuff. It's just even when with the fight that didn't go your way, you could tell, you just the way you handled it was a lot better than, you know, like, say when after the contender series and stuff like that.
Yeah. When you think the world's going to shit, and any day you might be just, like, locked up in your home and they won't let you leave again or something.
Yeah. So August 11th, the fight ahead of you. What about Dalton? I mean, without giving anything away, obviously, what's the best way to prepare for a guy like that?
Same as always, man. He's not, like, a specialist. He doesn't do anything extremely well. He's well-rounded. He strikes a bit. He wrestles a bit. He's big and strong. I think he thinks he's going to run through me. From the sounds of his interviews, he thinks I'm a shitty fighter. So hopefully he's underestimating me, and hopefully he thinks it's going to be a walk in the park, because I don't think he's fought anyone near my level. And I think he's going to have a rough night out there.
And I have to ask you, because we're talking before the Bellator Rising Games. I mean, I know you're focused on your own fight, but you see them collaborating like that with another promotion. What do you think behind you? Do you want to get on the go to Japan and get on the Bellator Rising card?
Sorry, dude, I can't hear you at all right now. Sorry, bro.
That's all right.
Yeah, it's way better.
Yeah, it is. So I was asking before the audio got messed up, because we're talking Friday, the day before Bellator versus Rising 2. When you see them promoting events like that in the future, is that something you'd like to be a part of, a collaborative event with, like, another promotion?
Yeah, for sure, man. It's cool. And I mean, especially now, like, apparently the future of Bellator is kind of unknown. So we don't really know what's going to happen. So, yeah, I'm open to different things for sure.
Yeah, and that was actually my last question. With all the sale rumors or the merger rumors with, you know, Bellator, maybe someone else, or being absorbed by someone else, like, as a fighter that's signed with them, I mean, they're re-signing people. I mean, they're extending contracts. So it is a little funny from our end looking, you know, the outsiders looking in, but you're kind of inside. How do you, like, is it distract from your preparation for fights when you have fights coming up?
Not really. Like, obviously I'm thinking about it a little bit, and people are asking me all the time and stuff. But I mean, like, for me, the best thing for my future either way is to win this fight and win it impressively, right? Like,
if Bellator is still around for a while, the best thing for me is going to be to beat this guy and move up in the rankings. If this is Bellator's last show that I'm on, the best thing for me is going to like beat this guy and look good for other promotions to potentially pick me up. So, yeah, the goal stays the same either way.
Yeah, as long as you have a contract and you're able to compete and make money, I think that's the best way to look at it.
Exactly.
When you before I let you go and go about your weekend, is there anything else that you want to like plug or just kind of like let folks know that you're working on?
I mean, the merch, you got one of my shirts on there. You can show the fans that. Yeah, I got my merch site that's on my Instagram account. We got a bunch of new shit on there. Actually, we just released a couple new shirts, so people can check that out. Otherwise, just watch the fight August 11th in South Dakota. I'm gonna upset this guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, man. I mean, they're doing a lot of overseas stuff, and that's like I think that's the last one in this quarter that's in the States. So I'm looking forward to it. Good luck to you, Aaron, and thanks again for making time to talk.
Yeah, man. Of course. Thank you.